the mother humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangster humping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
And okay. We go.
We're fucking recording!
Alright. Jesse went a little demonic there, but that's cool.
That was actually the entirety of my story.
Oh.
That was amazing.
Wow.
Pretty fucking good.
That is very, like, Art Nouveau, and I don't know how to interpret it yet. I'm going to have to think about this for a couple days, maybe re-listen.
It only took me a couple of months to write it.
Yeah. Wow, so I thought that there's was a reason. Good. It's clearly genius.
Yeah. So, Melody and Nick, are you ready for my story?
Fuck yes!
Fuck yes.
Let's do it! This story is called The Treasure of Loon.
Oh, shit!
Oh, no.
You're obsessed with the loon.
Yeah, colon, The Companions. The Companions. Alright, The Treasure
like
of
prostitutes?
Loon. Yo Bobins looked at his friend and remarked in his sweet, sing-songy native tongue, I don't know about you, but my McStuffins are frumped. We've looked all over this hymen-stained goat dwelling and haven't even caught a glimpse of the forbidden treasure of Loon. Yo Bobins' brow furrowed like a thing that furrows really hard. Yo Bobins stood about half the height of a fully erect horse dick.
Oh my god! Horses!
He was covered in a fine fur coat and rather resembled a mole, but with soft elven features like high cheekbones, pointed ears, and a Pantene Pro-V-worthy golden locks of hair that unfurled in slow motion every time he turned.
Sexy.
Holy shit, that is going to slow down all events around this person.
Yeah. Yo Bobins was a trundle elf, a half-breed genetic anomaly that was for some reason both highly desirable as a mate and at the same time regarded as useful as a puffy-lipped vagina in the middle of your forehead.
Wow.
Oh.
Yes.
So wait. Half elf. What the fuck is a trundle?
Trundle elf. That's what they're called. Trundle
elf. But what's a trundle?
I don't know, dude. It's your Bobins.
Okay. My bad. We're delving too far into small detail.
Yes, I'm afraid so. So being a walking contradiction can be very difficult, as evidenced by the 92% suicidal mortality rate of the trundle elves. But the glint in Yo Bobin's baby blue eyes told a different story. This particular trundle was something special. Maybe we should turn back before we get totally Lostingtons. My cheesy beef is a little cold. And I'm thinking perhaps the treasure of Loon never even existed. Yo Bobin's waved his feeble weapon, akin to a 12-inch long double-ended dildo, but covered in silky hair and shards of volcanic glass around maniacally to dispel any evil spirits.
Ew.
Easy there, my dearest friend and companion, whispered the other in a lispy tone that would make a duck blush. It is bound to be out here somewhere. I can feel it tingling in my balls. Besides, this is where the map is pointing. Whoa. Calling the wadded-up, jizz-covered parchment his companion had purchased off of a drunk wharf, which is basically a really shittily imagined version of a dogman hybrid, for 14 bags of dicks, was a bit of a stretch, and Yo Bourbon's let his friend know it.
Wait, where does one get 14 bags of dicks?
It's common currency in the land.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. That actually makes... You can harvest them on the Titty Dick Highway, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Indeed.
They grow on the side of the road like wildflowers.
That's true. You can't be serious, dude. That wharf barely stopped licking his doodle whopper long enough to scribble directions on his jizz rag. On top of that, you had to throw down 14 sexified dick bags to get it. Do you know how many subscriptions of Chaz Wobbers magazine that could have gotten us? 4. I know. 4, yelled the other more harshly than intended. Yo, Bobbins, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to. Snap! Mid-sentence, a giant set of fangs appeared out of the thick woodland and narrowly missed their chance to chop their intended prey in twain. And they would have, too, if not for Yo Bobin's resplendent, shimmering lederhosen of the sprite, which granted him plus 90 to agility.
Fuck, that's a lot.
Yo Bobin's had always told him that they looked lame as shit, but our hero knew that they would come in handy eventually. After all, these particular hosen were truly the boner-givingest, uncle-fuckingest, badminton-playingest, Civil War recreationingest, testicle wart removingest, My Little Poniest, beer-bongingest, Bolshevik revolutionarianist, butterfly pettingest, uterine cancer curingist, Taoist kung fu masteringist, involuntary winkingest, uncomfortable teacher touchingest pair of lederhosen ever made.
That was like 7 felonies with these lederhosen.
So many things, these lederhosen, whoa.
Snap! Snap! 2 more heads appeared out of the woods, nipping at the heels of the very enticing and no doubt delicious cat, our hero, in parentheses, who was deftly jumping and flipping all over the fucking place like a flea on a disembodied nut sack of Bull Rogan of Hammerstein. Yo Bobins, seeing his sweet, dearest friend in such peril, did the one thing that all Trundle elves do in the face of diversity. He sprang into action, flipping his science-damned, beautiful, fucking shit-ass raping locks of hair through the air in slow motion in the general direction of the mutual foe.
I thought you were going to say he does the one thing that Trundle elves do, which was commit suicide.
Right. Yeah, that's what
I'm glad
wrong.
That he chose not to, though.
So righteous was the defensive move that the little curly scent waft marks could be seen with each slow motion tossle. Oddly, the three heads appeared to totally disregard Trundle's pro-V prowess. And they continued to advance on their jump-flipping dinner treat with renewed fervor. Now desperate, Yo Bobin's reared back and hucked his trusty double-ended dildo right at the nearest beast head. Flack! The precious weapon landed right between the creature's eyes in slow motion. The glass shards slicing deep into the beast's delicate gray skin and the luxurious dildo hair reassuringly caressing the fresh wound, as only a magical, oxymoronic, paradoxical, double-ended dildo could reasonably be expected to do.
Naturally.
Bloom-o! Ha-ha, you silly, motherless, panty-wanking girdle-licker! Yo Bobins produced a lute and began, Oh, hey, dee-dee, dee-dee-doo, I make whoopsied the shit out of you. Oh, hey, dee-dee, dee-dong, you have a midget schlong. Oh, hey, dee-dee, dee-dee, I'd like to drink some pee.
What? I I'm not going to lie, I kind of hoped the rest of the story was going to be that song.
The end.
No, I mean, I mean like 17 more minutes of that song.
There was no denying the exceptional catchiness and immense violence of the Trundle's improvised diss. A diss even the creature's gynecologist could feel.
Ooh.
But as powerful as it was, the creature shook the dildo off, which magically returned itself to Yobobin's belt and raised its head into the air, taking
It's like a...
It's like Thor's hammer.
Shit, yeah.
This is a very, very different Avengers movie we're talking
magical
about.
Magical as shit. Oxymoronic, double-ended dildo.
Okay.
I'm going to say better than the Avengers, if this was the movie.
The creature shook the dildo off and raised its head into the air, taking a few lumbering steps forward to reveal its massive body. The companions froze, staring up at the freakish beast. More than slightly annoyed, the central head licked its lips before speaking. Do that again, motherfucker! Do it again! Do that one more motherfucking time, and I'll blow your motherfucking head straight through your pee hole, knuckle!
The central head of Samuel L. Jackson?
Hey, you. You remind me of the babe. What motherfucking babe? The babe with the power. I said, what motherfucking power? I double dog dare you to tell me what goddamn power now, motherfucker, or I swear I will strike you down with great vengeance and furious anger until you're dead as a pile of motherfucking motherfuckers. Please, here we go again. We can't always have you two kooks always breaking each other's balls, you know? Come with me, dear Christopher Walkenhead, and I'll take you away to my castle, beyond the Goblin City, to be my bride. For the love of shit, will you two give it a fucking rest already? These two little creepy motherfuckers right here, all up in our shit, flipping around like tiny little rabbits, and all you two goofy motherfuckers can think about is how to get our collective veiny ramrods into your respective buttholes? Hold on a minute, Samuel L. Jackson head.
I fucking called it! Okay.
The Goblin King and I really have a chance to have something special, you know? Now, come here, you big, beautiful goblin master. Go ahead, Nick.
So we've got a three-headed creature.
Yes.
At least one of whom is a character from Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
The other appears to be the Goblin King from Labyrinth.
Yes. Christopher fucking Walken.
And Christopher Walken.
I'm afraid so.
Also from Pulp Fiction.
Christopher Walken isn't in Pulp Fiction.
I see it.
He is now.
That's
no,
not
he,
true.
He is anyway. He had the watch in his ass.
What?
Yeah, that sounds really, really stupid outside of context. Not enough time, and I don't want to interrupt Jesse's story long enough to explain how he's in Pulp Fiction.
Jesse, but, did you know that?
Yeah, because he's referencing lines from Pulp Fiction using Christopher Walken's character.
Jesse, did you know that?
Me? No.
Yeah,
I just thought.
That's true.
You didn't remember that Christopher Walken was in Pulp Fiction, but you're using lines from Pulp Fiction said by Christopher Walken?
No.
Because that is amazing.
He was just saying Christopher Walken-esque lines.
I thought it'd be cool to have a monster with Christopher Walken, Samuel L. Jackson, and the Goblin King.
Are you sure Christopher Walken...
Which independently is probably one of the greatest things to ever happen in storytelling ever. Yes, I am sure that Christopher Walken is in Pulp Fiction. He has a very, very short scene. It's a couple of minutes.
Okay, well, Jesse, I had no fucking idea. So
we may have to investigate. Are they a three-headed, like, Hydra-type monster thing?
No, but he talks about putting a watch in his ass.
Okay. Well.
You know, just like in your story, which... Oh, wait, no, that's probably trademark.
Are you sure that's real, Nick, and not just, like, your fantasy?
No, I do not have a fantasy about Christopher Walken putting a watch in his ass.
Well, maybe. Well, Samuel Jackson watches, and the Goblin King jerks off on the sideline.
This does sound like a lot of my fantasies.
The land does not condone putting watches in your ass.
Unless it helps you tell time, Mariah.
If you could only tell time through feel in your own ass. Anyway, I am so sorry for creating a shitty 2-minute break in your story to talk
about. That's
okay.
Don't worry about it, because the three heads just stopped talking to each other. We last left off with the Christopher Walken head saying, "Just hold on a minute, Samuel Jackson. Now, come here, you big, beautiful goblin master." Yobobins and his companion were dumbfounded, afraid to make any movement lest their presence disturb the delicate situation. Yobobins was ready to turn and run at the drop of a coin. His friend was currently contemplating joining in on sexy time?
Shit.
They stared up at the three-headed beast, now in the throes of a forbidden passion so deep and powerful that all the creatures of the woods showed up for some fuck. So ferocious was the three-way humpathon that one could clearly see sticky, sweet, sexy lines emanating from the eye of the sex storm and broadcasting for miles in all directions. The thick, stank lines were floating all over the damn sky, wrapping themselves around birds and trees and ducks and hamsters and rocks and kidney stones and thermostats and Rosie O'Donnell and that one weird-looking guy over there who didn't have a penis and your mom's pocket calculator and the fucking empty milk buckets at the milk market and having all sorts of sex with them.
I really, really wish that would be part of the evening news, is the sex lines.
Someday, hopefully. Yes, the sex lines were getting it on with things they touch. It was awe-inspiring and rad.
Mm-hmm.
Psst!
Sexy.
Over here! A hushed, grisly voice cut through the nasty fuck sounds in the air and reached the recently impregnated ears of the two adventurers.
Ew!
Yeah, sorry. Well, the fucking sex lines were having sex with things. It's nasty when those triple hydra creepazoid monster has sex with itself.
And ears.
Psst, over here. They turned towards the apparent source of the noise, but found it hard to see with the sex lines burrowed into their eyes, hell-bent on producing some cute little eye babies. I don't remember writing that. Okay.
Keep going.
Hurry before it's too late. A gnarled hand popped through the fuck fog and grabbed the two, yanking them into the forest. Suddenly, they were sprinting, the pair of hands deftly guiding them over and around obstacles as the two tried to flush the sex out of their eye holes. After some time, the sounds of sex died down, and the three finally slowed to a stop, each drawing deep breaths of fresh, sexless air that didn't smell like cabbage.
Wait a minute. Sex should not smell like cabbage.
Yeah, that's fucking
gross.
You should
probably see a doctor.
Yobobins rubbed his eyes and slowly opened them to see a lumbering, 8-foot-tall she-orc panting in front of them. She was doubled over, bent at the waist, and her homemade outfit of the skins of dead creatures didn't leave much to the imagination.
Sexy.
The thin flap of carcass stretched over her anus could hardly be called clothing.
Ew.
I'm sorry, but wait.
Oh, yeah.
As the wind blew across the she-orc's buttocks, a slight, low-pitched, resonant whistling sound could be heard. Embarrassed, Yobobins tried hard to outwardly hide his excitement, but the trundle elf's doodle caught a whiff and instantly stood fully erect. Oblivious to the spectacle at her rear, the she-elf hawked up a half-pound phlegm ball and spat it to the ground.
Ew! That is foul.
The phlegm turned its slimy head and looked up at its mistress, clearly wounded by the unceremonious dismissal. Poor little guy, I'll take care of you, said Yo Bobins as he tucked his hair behind an ear, tucked his erection into one pant leg, and stooped to the ground to pick up the dejected pile of snot.
Oh, why?
The rear flap of his tunic lifted up as he bent, and a high-pitched squeal, perfectly harmonious with the she-orc's whistle, slipped out. It was magical.
So they ass whistled in two-part harmony?
Yep.
That is fucking magical.
Holy Barbara, mother of Satan's pet wagon, exclaimed Yo Bobin's companion while wiping... Whoa, sorry, I did that in the wrong voice. Let me go back.
Please.
Holy
we'll
Barbara.
Edit it in post.
Okay, what?
No. I said we'll edit it in post.
No, we won't.
Hey, post. Holy Barbara, mother of Satan's pet wagon, exclaimed Yo Bobin's companion while wiping sexy tears from his eyes.
Sexy tears, that's the best kind.
The she-orc and the trundle elf turned and stared at each other. Never in all of their years of existence, nor within all of their zesty imaginings, had either thought that they'd find their whistle mate.
Oh my god.
That's
a love story.
That's a thing. Yeah, somehow here, just beyond the border of a now defunct and barren sexified wasteland, the gods had brought them together. Neither spoke, too absorbed in the moment to end the shared bliss. Hi, my name is Yo Bobins, son of Yertle, slapper of the dill. Yo Bobins managed to stammer out while bowing low and fluffing his fucking majestic hair, but never breaking eye contact with the enormous she-elf. I don't know how we can repay you for saving our cheese nugs from that thing back there. I thought for certain our griddles were whoopsie. The she-orc stared back in reply, allowing a subtle smile to reach the corner of her mouth. Yo Bobins felt a powerful stirring in his pants. And I, she began, am Pertok Uglaga, young Master Trundle Elf.
Pertok
I was wandering
Uglaga?
These woods when I heard the voice of the dreaded three-headed beast known as the Jack Walking, whom it appears the two of you have already met. Pertok adjusted her animal skin garments, flashed a smile at the companions, and reached behind her back to reveal a fucking wicked-ass dual-headed battle axe, which had seen many a battle. Yo Bobin's bratwurst could take no more. It sprung up out of his trousers and threw his shirt, popping at Yo Bobin's head.
Whoa.
The Trundle and his baby soft member exchanged a triple take at the sight of the she-orc, mouth and pee hole agape. The wily penis reared back.
Wait.
Okay. Sorry. Go on.
He and his dick triple taked at the orc woman.
They triple taked at each other at the sight of the she-orc. Yep.
I really, really want to see that. In either animation or live action.
Mouth and pee hole agape.
Live action? You don't want to see that in live action.
Yeah. I would totally see
Fuck
that in live
yeah.
action.
Oh,
a dude and his own dick. Triple
yeah, I'd
take.
Pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The wily penis reared back and smacked the shit out of Yo Bobins. Just to make sure he wasn't dreaming. And then it leaned bodily against the horny and now injured Trundle, placed a beret upon its uncircumcised head, and it lit a smoke. I'm actually, like, the questioning wasn't intended in my reading. I'm kind of, I'm on the journey with you. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Okay. His dick lit a cigarette. I got you.
Ruminating, Yobobin's penis took a long draft of his cigarillo and began, "Ah, mon petit bon ami, that she-arc, she is amazing. Never before have I witnessed such untamed beauty. The gods in the sky could not contain the twinkle in her eye or the moonbeams emanating from her very fingertips. The ground beneath her feet, oh, how I wish it were so I could be joined together with her with every step."
Oh my god, so his dick is French.
And romantic.
And halfway through that, it became Antonio Banderas.
I know, I kind of fucked up.
Well,
it's okay.
But you'll have to bear with me, because it's...
No.
Yeah.
I'm with you, I got it.
Frosh.
Dick
yet
smoking,
another...
Dick smoking. Yeah, dick smoking, beret wearing, French dick.
Yet another long pull on his smoke, and the bulbous member glanced at his owner, who was nodding in agreement, transfixed. The penis continued on.
Oh my god!
Mon Dieu, it's incredible! She has, how do you say, dumps like a truck.
Oh no!
Oh shit, you just killed both of us.
Sorry about that. Truck? Truck? Replied the powerful boner's owner, still in a trance. "Oui, my friend. Thighs like what?
What?
What? What?" Yobobin's barely heard the veined sausage. "You heard me. Baby, move your butt." But? I think I'll sing it again.
Oh my god, Nick is gonna die.
Whoa, my little French fry. Pertok was taken aback. Never before had a half-elf and his sizable member profess such love and devotion. She shed a single tear and blew the small fellow a kiss with her vaginal lips.
Oh. Oh my god.
Like you do.
Yes.
I didn't know girls could do that, Mel. God damn.
Yeah, well, you clearly haven't paid attention.
I guess
if
you're not wearing much clothing and you could whistle out of your asshole, you could probably blow a vagikiss.
Fair enough. Wanting to break the tension and get back to the quest at hand, Yobobin's companion stepped forward and saluted the large she-orc by extending one arm out and relaxing his wrist, so his hand dangled limply in the breeze.
By the way, Nick and I both just enacted that.
Hey!
Like, yeah!
We had to put our hands out and make a limp.
That's
wrist.
Right. So did I, and furthermore, we don't know this companion's name yet, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
I hadn't.
Well, the penis.
And now, back to the appropriate Antonio Banderas accent. "I," he said at last, "am Jacobo Gaypa."
Oh my god! Holy fucking shit.
"Known by many as Yeti. Known by some as Flavor Knuckles. Known by few as, please get your cat nuts out of my mouth."
Or, please don't put your cat anus on the tip of my nose.
Yes, exactly. Pertok looked over the Trundle Elf's companion. He stood roughly 7 feet tall, had a rather muscular physique, and had a smooth coat. White as whale jizz. And not regular whale jizz. The double, grade A, 99% pure shit you had to hang a bitch for.
Whoa! The Landov does not condone the hanging of you.
True. You've met my dear friend Yobobins. We are truly indebted to you for saving us from the terrible and exceptionally arousing Jackwalking. A rustle high up amongst the branches of a nearby tree interrupted Jacobo for a moment. The three paused and waited, scanning the boughs with their eyes, weapons at the ready. The moment passed, and Jacobo relaxed. Yobobin's erection had deflated, and he was reeling it up to shove it back down his pant leg. Pertok winked at the small one and brought...
reeling it up like a hose in the yard.
Actually, I was thinking like a fishing reel. Yeah. It's up to you, the listener.
Awesome, keep going.
There's a crank involved.
Pertok winked at the small one and brought her axe to her lips to give it a kiss. An uneasy quiet settled in. Jacobo silently pulled out the map of his out of his fanny pack and motioned with his head for the others to follow. The three walked down an ancient path covered in vines and littered with the bones of the fallen and forgotten heroes. Jacobo leading, Pertok in the middle, and Yobobins wisely taking up the hind guard position so he could watch the mesmerizing undulations of Pertok's sweet ass. After a mage hour, which is pretty much just an hour, but for mages? After a mage hour of walking in silence, they came upon a huge monolithic stone pedestal in a large clearing. The sides of the massive monument were covered in an unknown language, and the whole structure appeared to be vibrating with energy. Adorning the top of the pedestal was a huge glyph of the sun, with sharp rays of light radiating from the center. Each pointed shaft of light hewn out of the rock pedestal was coated in a thick red liquid that seemed to come from within, and was streaking down to the ground. In front of the three adventurers, at the base of the pedestal, there was a smaller replica version of the monolith. The sun atop the replica appeared to be a lever of some kind, and Jacobo stepped forward to pull it. Just as the man-dog Worf from earlier in the story had said, Yobobins... Oh, fuck! I did the wrong voice again! Sorry. I should prepare more next time. Just as the man-dog Worf from way earlier in the story had said, Yobobins. You know, the drunk that we bought this map from. Jacobo reached the small pedestal and looked back at the others for approval. Pertok nodded her head, axe twirling nervously in her huge hands. Yobobins gave his double dildo a lick, scratched his left testicle, and gave a shrug. Let's do this, Jacobo, he squealed. Jacobo reached forward and placed his hand on the sun. Dark clouds began swirling in the sky above, and the ground beneath the adventurer's feet turned red as fuck. Oh. A deep, bellowing sound penetrated the silence of the forest, and it continued to grow louder with each passing moment. Steeling himself, Jacobo pulled back on the lever, and the sound crashed in a sudden crescendo. For a moment, nothing happened. Suddenly, begrudgingly, the sound of stone grinding on stone could be heard emanating from behind the monolith as if a door were opening. No one moved, waiting for the contraption to run its course. Then the whispers started. A suck tuck tuck tuck. A pause. Tiger uppercut. Ryukin. Then nothing. It was as if the air surrounding them was breathing in for a massive strike. Then, deafeningly, from the tops of the trees, Hadouken!
Yobobins!
Yobobins stroked his beautiful hair, activated his resplendent, shimmering lederhosen of the sprite, and began flipping all over the fucking place. Pertok tightened her carcass bikini and revved up her patented hyper booty clap. Jacobo pulled his dual scimitars from their sheaths and began to purr. The guardians of the treasure of Loon had been awoken. Dot, dot, dot.
Oh, holy fucking shit, dude. I was literally, like, sitting on the edge of my seat, looking at the computer screen, waiting to see what would happen, even though I knew that the computer screen did not hold the answer.
Fuck you, computer screen. You're wrong.
And, what the fuck? How? The Hadouken! We were just talking about the Hadouken! I know!
We were talking about it all night, and I was so excited to tell you guys, but I thought I'd save it as a surprise.
Oh my god, that was the best surprise ever!
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. Holy shit.
So much happened in your story that was amazing and totally fucking insane and strange. It was fantastic. Totally, totally fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, thank you. Speechless.
I think parts of my brain are now broken and never recover. They're just going to constantly think about scenes from Pulp Fiction.
Right. Yeah, well.
And now I don't have to watch it again.
I don't remember the Christopher Walken scene in Pulp Fiction either, Jesse.
I'm not sure I remember that, but it probably did happen. He's probably right.
You don't.
Yeah, well, Nick has an inane memory for those sorts of weird, like, detail.
You mean worthless information?
No.
It's worthless information.
Those detail scenes that you wouldn't think
worthless.
Of. Yeah.
The Land of thanks you for wasting your time listening to this shit. Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance. Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take a pee-pee in your ear holes.
It's the mother humping land of.